sitting, but we'll see how it ends up. Well, Gary, you want to pray? You never get to pray for me.
Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for this day that we live in. Lord, we just ask your anointing now on the bishop and on your word. And Lord, upon us, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts of good soil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hope that you're taking advantage. Margaret posted it this afternoon to look at the aslanroars.com website. Matthew and I still got to work out some kinks about these things appearing on the CTK thing. But I think the Aslan Roars is going to be the main one anyway. But there's no reason why they can't be on both. And just continue to pay attention to what's going on around us. This is pretty amazing. And the tornadoes that are going through Missouri again today, in Oklahoma, and tomorrow. Here's the thing. Don't take for granted anything. You know, so pray tomorrow. Just stand and pray for God's mercy and grace. And I'm not wanting to be alarmist. I'm not, like, more alarmed because we had all we went through, but I just know that this is a strange season. So we may not expect much tomorrow because of all that happened few weeks ago, but I just had a real sense that as we were coming over here today to pray, we need to pray for Selma. And so just be in prayer. We'll pray tonight. God has shown us great mercy and grace so far. Now, I was meeting with a couple of pastors this afternoon, and they were asking about all the storms and all the things, and, you know, just how do you, you know, what is God doing? What is he saying? You know, so we just talked about some stuff, And I told him, go on to Aslan Roars and look up some stuff. And just in terms of, again, the people who are dying, the ones who are Christians, their times are in God's hands. And they'll, you know, God has people fulfilling their destiny and their purpose. And those who aren't Christians, one of the things that God is saying is that you can't wait. Just put it off, thinking you always have time, because you don't always have time. And our life is like a vapor. And but the Lord is certainly speaking to us. And I thought about this too. This is, of course, for a smaller group, but I feel like I have a little more time to linger on Wednesdays, to meander. And that is just the stuff that we're sharing prophetically. For years, you know, I have just resisted delving into that whole stuff a lot because years ago, you know, 8 years ago, I just, I remember Meg talking to me about the prophetic stuff because I really had a lot of respect for Meg. And plus, she'd just been around a lot of prophetic people. And when we came away from that thing in North Carolina, she talked to me about how God does things in terms of the anointings. And she says, the normal thing is called a stair-step anointing. We just take one step at a time, and you move up into this place. She says, there's another one that's like an elevator anointing or an escalator anointing. You know, God just pushes a button, and then you're there. And that one's a much more difficult one because you're not really prepared. You know, I mean, he thinks you're prepared. He wouldn't do it, but your learning curve is very short. And that's kind of what happened to me and kind of got thrown in that whole world, and I thought it was really cool and fun for about 2 months. And then I discovered that it was serious stuff, and that it wasn't, there was a lot of pressure, and people put a lot of pressure on you, and you weren't always very popular because people are skeptical on different stuff. And so after a few years there, I just backed away. And it wasn't that I wasn't getting stuff. You know, I used to talk about how when it happened to me, it was like somebody turned on a movie screen, and there were like these scenes being played out in front of me all the time. And so this is a terrible confession to help tell you, but just being transparent, for several years there, it wasn't like the movie wasn't running. I just didn't want to pay attention to it. It just was too difficult. And but over the last couple of years, people that I've loved here and around the world have begged me. I've gotten more words from people when I go to places and speak and stuff, begged me to jump back in. And I've just been reluctant to do it. But it's been in the last year, and particularly in the last 9 months and even more so the last 6 months. I just felt like I was being disobedient and it was time to dive back in. So the tension for me is prophetically is that my primary calling is I'm called to be a pastor teacher. And there's like a Jeremiah thing that God's done, uproot, pull down, overthrow, destroy, build and plant, very similar to what Bishop Adler's original stuff was. And but my personality is Amos. And Amos said, I've never been a prophet, nor was my father a prophet. I've just taken care of the herds and trimmed the trees. But all of a sudden, the Lord comes along and does these things. And so the tension that I have, and I don't want this church to get feel torn, is that my primary role here in this church is just to love you and feed the sheep and, you know, encourage you to do the work of the ministry. And yet to try to blend that, that was one of the things that was hard for me to know how to do years ago, but to blend that prophetic thing too. But I do think there's a pastoral edge, or always has been, to the prophetic stuff God gives me. There's a teaching prophetic edge. And so that makes me feel a bit comfortable, more comfortable. But I'm saying all this to say, if you hear me blurting out these things at times, don't get frustrated. I'm just jumping back in and that's one of the reasons the As and Aurora's thing is there, so you can go back and look at that stuff. But I'm back in that place where I'm actually having a lot more fun now than I was a few years ago. One, I've grown some more in this whole little world, and I don't really care. I care about what you think. I don't care really about what somebody in Indiana thinks. And I say things publicly because I want to be held accountable. That's one of the reasons I put things back in As and Aurora, because I want people to be able to go in there and go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. But it's been a pretty amazing time. The kind of things that are happening were, like I shared, I forgot to bring that word. I wish I'd brought it just to read it, but it'll be on As and Aurora. And like, you know, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. and I'm starting to write things down because he's just speaking to me some stuff. And I thought that was a really interesting word that I shared today if you were here, and I think it's important for us. But a few days ago, you know, in my rhythm, I drink a protein drink in the mornings. And I put a banana in there and grind, you know, make it just like a smoothie kind of. But I'd run out of bananas, and so I went to the store to buy some bananas, and I bought like a huge amount of bananas so that they would last me. And I brought them home, and I told Olivia, I said, when Mia goes to the grocery store tomorrow, I tell her, I don't need any bananas. If she buys any bananas, I've got bananas coming out of my ears. And, of course, Olivia forgot to tell her, and then, I mean, I've got more bananas than Uganda has. And I told, so the other day, like 2 days ago, Linda comes to me, Moat, and of course she didn't know about my banana story. That's just a grocery story. And yet that's what it's like when you kind of get in this thing. Every detail, especially if it's something a little odd or unusual, you got to pay attention to because God's speaking through the goofiest little things. That's part of the seer's prophetic thing. So Linda comes up to me. She said, I just had this strong vision of you, and there's like this huge banana, and you've got this surgeon's tool precisely cutting down the middle of the banana, which precision would mean like accuracy and anointing stuff. And she said, you know, like bananas, yellow, and yellow is the color of your anointing. I said, I'm not sure what all that means. And I told her a story about all the bananas, and I said, if you know what it means, let me know. And so, not last night, but night before last, she told me that Sunday, the night before last, I said, Lord, what is the deal with all the bananas? And the Lord said, I just want you to go bananas in this thing that I'm doing. And don't hold back, go for it. And so that was cool. So Monday at Eucharist, Linda came up to me. She said, I think I know what God's saying. I said, I'm going to go ahead. Because I knew she was going to say, God just wants you to go bananas in the anointing. And I said, okay, that's what we'll do. And so so we're kind of going bananas in the anointing. But tonight we're going to actually do something different. And part of the thing, too, is like it's so intense. And I think that some of the things the Lord's doing, you know, some of these pastors I met with today, I was telling them, I said, look, guys, you know, I don't have the right to speak in anybody's life, but there's just this growing desperation among pastors. I said, you tell me, I'll arrange my schedule. I'll pay whatever price we have to pay together. If you want to sit up 10 nights in a row, you want to not eat for a while, whatever you want to do, just to see a visitation for God in your lives and my life again and said, this is go for it. I think that we're just in that day. And it's really kind of fun. Because they were, like, one of them was saying, you know, I don't know what's going on with all these storm stuff. It's just stirring something up in me. I said, yes, it is. It's stirring stuff in you to travail for God, for an extravagant move of God in your life. And so listen to this verse. This isn't prophetic. Therefore, this is Romans 5. I'm going to look at several passages. And because of the schedule and stuff going on, I haven't had the normal time like I would in a routine. It's like that we're going to do through Corinthians or whatever. But I've been praying intensely lately that I would preach the gospel of the kingdom. And of course, you know the word gospel means good news. And I just really asked the Lord to open my eyes to the grace of God fully, to see the grace of God in all of its layers and mysteries, and to give me the ability to preach the grace of God, because that's it's the good news of the kingdom. It's the grace of the kingdom. And so today I was going, Lord, I don't really know what to say. I said, I want to just read another prophetic word, what I'm supposed to do. He said, well, why don't you talk about the grace of God, silly? That's what you've been asking me for. And so we'll do that a little bit. But this is sort of a light-hearted version of the grace of God. I don't know if there's more revelation as it is just celebration. Therefore, having been you justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Now, here's the thing that's cool about this verse. Now, hear what it says again. Listen to the words really slow, or if you have a Bible in front of you, read what it says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, having been justified, having been declared innocent by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom, Jesus, we have obtained, not obtaining, not hoping to obtain, but obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. Alrighty? Now, think about this. Let's think again in terms of what grace means. The most famous phrases about grace are simple, about what grace is all about. Because when we think about grace, we have a tendency to think about God's unconditional acceptance. Well, that's certainly grace, isn't it? But God's great love for me, as undeserving I am, that's grace. The fact that God gives me stuff and blesses me, that's grace. The fact that God enables me to not sin, that's grace. The fact that God anoints me, that's grace. Grace covers everything about, when it says in Ephesians, for we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's grace. That God would bless a sinner, not just with justification, but he would bless someone who is as sinful or has a tendency to sinful. You know, I love that. Oh, thou grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. That's an old hymn about the fact that because of our fallenness, and we have this heart for God, we also have this tendency to wonder. I remember and I don't remember the details, but the movie How the West Was Won. James Stewart was in that movie, and George Peppard was in that movie. And early on, Jimmy Stewart, who's like an old trapper, I forget who the actress was. She kind of not lures him, but she convinces him to marry her. But he's trying to tell her over and over again that she should marry him. He's been wandering around too long. And he leaves the camp and he's going to go do his own thing. And he has this, if you remember the story, this sound of this girl is in distress. And he goes to try to save her and he gets robbed. And when he and the girl who wanted to marry him finally get together, he's trying to explain to her. He said to her, he said, "Don't you understand? I'll always respond to that voice. That's what you're getting hooked up into." And I think that's true about us, is that not that we always respond to the voice, but what's frustrating is that the voice gets our attention. And we just think that somehow as we get older in the Lord, it's just never going to happen, but it does. Now, our true heart is for Jesus, but there is that we still have flesh. And so everything God does for us, and in light of anything we've ever done, considering his track record is perfect, God's favor on us, which involves all the things I've mentioned, it's just grace. And he says here, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith to this grace in which we stand. The language there is, you're standing in grace. This is that perfect tense thing. We have an introduction. We're standing. It's almost like being knee-deep in the cement. You're knee-deep in it, and you're never going to get out of it. You're standing in it, and it's a perpetual stand, but your experience of it is just an introduction. You'll forever be discovering. Let's just say you're knee-deep in a pond, and your feet are stuck in the mud, and you can't get out of the pond, or the pond goes on forever. You find yourself waist-deep in a pond, and you see no borders, no boundaries, no banks, and you know, I'm in this pond forever. And every day you're discovering new things about the pond. The whole pond was yours from the beginning, but every day, your first day there was just an introduction into this thing that's yours forever. You hear me? It's really important that you understand that. He says, and in light of that, we exult in hope of the glory of God. You know why I have hope for the glory of God, Ricky? Because I've been a really good guy this week. And I deserve it. Now, I have hope that I'm experiencing the glory of God because I'm in a pond I can't get out of. And it's called the grace of God. It's where I stand. And you know what? You can't walk or run anywhere until you first stand somewhere. And it's the place from which we do everything in the Christian life is grace in which we stand. And your hope and my hope, we can exult in the hope of the glory of God, not because you've been good enough or you've been obedient enough. Those are expressions of your love for him. It allows you to investigate and explore all the things in the pond. But the pond is yours by the grace of God. And your hope that you can know the glory of God, the glory of this pond, is the grace of God. You're in that pond. It wasn't out of luck that you got there, but it wasn't because of you. You're there because of the grace of God, because of what Jesus has done for you and for me. You with me? Now, look in Titus. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. When Jesus came, the grace of Jesus, the fact that he's come, the grace of God, that's the grace of God, has appeared for all men, offering salvation to all men and instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in this present age. You see, people are afraid of the grace of God because they're afraid if you believe you're standing in unmerited favor. Remember, that's one of the phrases that I was starting off with. Unmerited favor is a great explanation of what the word grace is. But also the acronym, GRACE, G-R-A-S-C-E, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's another great one. Old one, I remember learning years ago. Just the riches of God given to me because of what Christ did, not because of what I've done or what I'll ever do. Now, what I do with all those riches is going to be how much I explore the pond and how much of the glory of God I'm going to get to experience. But the riches are there, and they're all there at Christ's expense because of what he did for me. And it's the grace of God, it's the love of God, and the free acceptance of God and the free favor of God that so draws a heart to want to deny ungodliness. Holiness, people think that holiness and grace are two opposite teachings. Now, if a person isn't moving towards holiness, at least crying out for holiness, then they don't understand grace. There's a difference between grace and license. if somebody's just running out sinning and claiming the grace of God, where is the real understanding of grace and the response of love back to God? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a ripoff. Remember this again, the scriptures in Song of Solomon. When the Song of Solomon starts off with, I'm dark but lovely, that isn't a scripture that says, okay, I can run around and exhibit my darkness and celebrate that God loves me anyway. It's that in my pursuit of union with Him, I'm confronted from time to time with my darkness. And the good news is that God still loves me, and it's grace in which I stand, from which I run towards Jesus. You hear me? That's the biblical reality of it all. Yeah, here's something I think is fun. Turn to Colossians. This is a short little devotional for sure. Colossians, like all the books Paul writes about the grace of God, but Colossians is really unique because it just talks about the grace of God in light of being in Christ, just the gift of God of being in Christ. Now, I'm going to do this first. I want you to stay in Colossians, and I want to read to you something from Ephesians. Okay? Y'all don't mind us doing a little fun Bible study tonight. In Ephesians chapter 1, we've referenced this before, verses 3 through 14, is full of periods and commas. But when Paul wrote this sentence, there are no punctuation marks. It's as if, and Paul was a very smart, educated person, and he doesn't do that other places in his writings. But it's like here, he starts talking about something, and you ever talk to somebody who was real excited and hyper, and they start talking, and it's like, and you finally go, stop, slow down. Take a breath. That's what it's like for Paul. And Paul's not that kind of person. Paul's not this sanguine, bubbly, he's a serious guy, you know. But when he starts to talk about being in Christ and the grace of God, it's like he starts and he gets all hyped up and he just can't stop and doesn't put a period in anything. And he's writing this. Now, you know, Paul talks about that his writings were hard to read. He even said you could tell this was me because it was in my own handwriting, because his handwriting was really big because he had some kind of eye condition that God never healed. And so I can just imagine Paul scribbling and what it must look like, like a kid with crayons, writing this sentence, and he never stops to put a punctuation mark. And hear what he says, and the whole thing is about the grace of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we're reading that, but I think when Paul's writing this, he's like going, blessed be God. You know, like a hallelujah thing. Stand on your head kind of thing. Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now, he's already thrown in two blessings. Who has blessed us with every, listen to the terminology, every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Just as He chose us. What a remarkable thing that He would choose me. I didn't earn it. That He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, before I ever did anything good or bad. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus according to the kind intention of His will. The kind intention of His will. He chose us to the praise of the glory of His grace. It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. The storyline is that which He freely bestowed. When you bestow something, it's like crowning, which He freely. We didn't earn it. You can't unearn it. Which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. I'm a Beloved. You're a Beloved. You may not love yourself sometime, but you're a Beloved. In Him we have redemption. Remember redemption? He says the forgiveness is through His blood. I mean, He shed His blood for me. I'm forgiven my trespasses, but redemption means more than that. Remember from our study in Ruth? Is to overrule for good all the loss occasioned by my sin. To restore and overrule for good all the loss occasioned by sin. In Him we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, again, according to what? To the riches of His grace. It's all about His grace. Which He lavished, listen to the language He uses, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of time, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, in heaven and things on the earth. In him also we obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the good news of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him by the Holy Spirit of promise, who was given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Now he says to the praise of his glory twice. But what does he say? What's God's glory? To the praise of the glory of what? His grace. His grace is his great glory. What did he tell? Remember, is it Exodus 32? When Moses wanted to see his face, he says, you can't see my face, but I'll cause my glory to pass before you. And then he says, he caused his goodness to pass before him. God's glory is his goodness. Because he's a perfect, holy God. And we deserve rejection and an eternal hell. And yet we have unmerited favor that makes him different than any other created or uncreated being. You see? That's his great glory, is his love. That's why God's holy, isn't he? God's this and God's that, but God calls himself love because that brings him more glory. It so sets him apart as other than anything else. Now, listen to what Colossians says. Therefore, what should characterize our Christian life? No matter what? Verse 3 of Colossians 1. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Verse 11. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In chapter 2, verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. There's a theme in this. Paul talks about always giving thanks, overflowing with gratitude. In chapter 4, verse 1, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Verse 17 of chapter 3, I love this one. Remember what it says in Ephesians 5:20? Give thanks in all things. Remember 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all things. Ephesians says give thanks for all things. Give thanks in all things, for that is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Bless the Lord at all times. What's it say in Philippians 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now, again, Paul is not this sanguine person who just was a jokester. He was a serious, goal-oriented, no-nonsense guy. And he writes these letters from imprisonment. And he's just telling them over and over again, give thanks, thanks, give thanks, thanks. Rejoice, rejoice, Lord, always. Joyfully giving thanks. Rejoice in the Lord. And he uses the word always and joyfully and all that. You think, good gracious, Paul. Don't you ever face reality? I mean, things don't always feel good. Here's the deal. They don't always feel good. But they always are good. Because you stand in grace. Do you understand that? Remember we said sometime in the last year or two, Paul wrote these things in prison. And he would never be released from this imprisonment. He was under house arrest. Never be released. And he didn't just talk about being in Christ and giving thanks. He talked about being seated in the heavenly places in Christ. Paul believed he was winning. He believed that he was seated in the heavenly places with Jesus, and he had an elevated perspective, and what was real to him was that he was in Christ standing in the grace of God. And somehow that nut believed that Jesus was winning, and therefore he was too, no matter what was going on around him, because it's grace in which we stand. And therefore we can exalt in hope that we'll see the glory of God. I don't care what's going on in your life. Because you stand in a pond, an endless pond called grace. You can exalt, praise God in the absolute hope that you're going to see the glory of God. No matter what it looks like and no matter how it feels like. And therefore you can do what? Give thanks. You can praise. You can rejoice. Now hear this. And this is what I love. And these two verses will finish. Verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of God, peace of Christ, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, listen to this. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. He says, whatever you do, whether you're in jail or you're in the palace, whether you feel good or don't feel good, whether you understand what's going on or you don't understand what's going on, whether she's behaving or not behaving, whether he's behaving or not behaving, whether they're behaving or not behaving, he said, give thanks in word and deed. He said, you stand in grace. You're seated in the heavenly places in Christ. It may not look like it, but He is always leading us in triumph in Christ. Always, says in 2 Corinthians. Always. He's winning. It may look like the devil's winning. The devil's going to tell you he's winning. He's not winning. Jesus is winning, and if you're in Christ, you're winning too. You may not all understand it all until you get to heaven and it's all summed up in Jesus. Isn't that what it says in that Ephesians passage? And you'll see how the grace made it all sum up. Whoa! It all did add up to good stuff. It all did work together for good. Go ahead and believe it now. Don't wait till you can see it all. You will see the glory of God, either through the rearview mirror or in front of you through the windshield. But you'll see the grace, the glory of God. So give thanks. Because it's the grace of God that makes it all true for us. We don't deserve this. It's the grace of God. Amen? Well, Bishop, I've been messing up really bad. It's grace in which you stand. His favor includes unconditional acceptance and love. And the kind of love we've talked about for years. He loves you fiercely, furiously, passionately, internally. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't get out of that pond. Scream, splash, pitch a fit in the pond, you're still going to land in the pond of the grace of God, and that's how He loves you no matter what. Find yourself in a dilemma, the favor of God is in that pond. You know what it means to be an overcomer? Is to believe somehow, some way, I don't know how He's going to do it, I don't know how it's going to look like. He's going to overcome. And I'm in Christ, therefore I'm going to overcome too. It may look like I'm losing, but I'm winning because I'm in Jesus. Amen? And He reigns. It's time like this, I wish I was a black Pentecostal pastor. Let's do that thing, you know? Instead of a sedentary white guy sitting in the chair. Whatever you do. But listen to this verse 16. This is a cool thing. It'll be fun. Let the word of God richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Does that sound familiar? Be filled with the Holy Spirit continually, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father. Always giving thanks for all things. Now hear what he said. In this passage in Colossians chapter 3, when he says, admonishing one, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ephesians says, singing and making melody in your heart, Lord. Here it says, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. Do you know that word thanksgiving there is also translated? Grace. Singing about the grace of God. And if you look back in Ephesians and you go, well, what does it mean to make a melody in your heart, Lord? Just kind of hum because you're happy? No, he answers it. Singing, making melody in your hearts of the Lord, always giving thanks. That's the song in a person's heart that is a melody to God. That's the melody that blesses him. I don't care if you sing like a frog. But if in your heart there's a song of gratitude, if in your heart there's the attitude of gratitude, it's like a song in your heart. That's what it means to sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. That you are singing and praising God, because no matter where you go, and no matter how far you run toward Him or away from Him, whenever you stop, there you stand in the grace of God. No matter what the enemy throws at you, tells you, whispers at you, screams at you, no matter what everybody else tries to shout to you, whenever it all stops and silent, there you are, standing in the grace of God, under the unmerited favor of God. Because it's unmerited, you can't unmerit it. You can't get out of it. And you know what happens? After a while, you finally go, you know, I might as well get up, give up and learn how to live in this pond. Because I ain't getting out of the pond. I've been screaming at God for years and telling Him how fair it is. Now I keep standing in this pond. And this time I started giving thanks for this pond, because this is where I'm spending for all of eternity. But I love that. What does it mean to sing and make melody in your heart? He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking with other psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart, Lord. How? By always giving thanks for the grace of God. Amen. Isn't that a cool word? Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And speaking of the grace of God, we're about